Rumble and ramble they did. The Spike Cohen and David Hogg debate went as you would expect, but it ended with an unexpected and highly disrespected winner. The gun control commissars have a new path to curb mass shootings: judicial tyranny. I guess that's really the old path, if we're being fair. A Michigan court turns parents of a mass shooter into a gun control scarecrow and a scapegoat to help them hide the failure of the public schools, law enforcement, and the pharmaceutical industry yet again. In our 2A for Today Modern Militia Woman Spotlight is focused on Pennsylvania, where a woman and her boyfriend had an unscheduled late-night rendezvous with men posing as police officers. The faux federales were looking for love in all the wrong places.
Looking for love in all the wrong places. Looking for love.
So a booty call ended in bullets. My name is Zoe. You're watching 2A for Today. The Dartmouth Political Union arranged a great gun control debate between 2020 Libertarian vice presidential candidate Spike Cohen and serial gun control grifter David Hogg. The debate went as expected. David Hogg has fears that only centralized control and manipulative lawfare can fix. The nearly two-hour-long debate with Q&A was genuinely civil, but poor David was severely outclassed. Even the moderator was exhibiting sympathy pains for Boss Hogg during the debate.
Gun control.
Your time is up.
Yes. Just give him my time. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
But David, your final.
I don't know his political leanings, but he was absolutely pro-Hogg and anti-Cohen by the middle of the first hour. I wonder if that will be considered anti-Semitic.
I don't know why! I can't understand it!
Spike used source data and graphs to illustrate the lack of evidence linking gun ownership with increased gun violence. He was able to do that by excluding gun violence as a consequence of self-harm or suicide. He made the case that every other metric of gun-related violence has been steadily reducing as gun ownership has increased, except suicide. Hogg argued for the Bloomberg model of gun control experimentation: universal background checks, gun owner registry, red flag laws, increase in age to purchase semi-automatic rifles, and et cetera, ad absurdum. Again, the debate went as we all expected, with Hogg disregarding the lack of evidence pointing to gun control reducing suicides or gun ownership increasing gun violence worldwide, and appealing to the tragedy of the Marjorie Stoneman Douglas mass shooting and his experience in that as necessitating a massive breach of the compact that the states had and they made when forming the federal government. I was pleasantly surprised, though, at Hogg's position on a couple of things.
Just going to the Fourth Amendment in the Patriot Act, or the FISA Act, the Foreign Intelligence and Surveillance Acts. Those are severe violations of our civil rights and liberties that personally I view right now are a far greater threat to our freedom than red flag laws. And we need to address that because it's enabled the mass surveillance of the American people that is illegal and a disgusting violation of our civil rights and our civil liberties as well. I never want to have what happened in China happen in the United States. Ever.
That brings us to the unexpected winner of the debate. Here, take a listen.
I am a Chinese immigrant who survived communism. And under Mao, 40 million people were starving to death after he sold communism to them. And 20 million people died, murdered during his Cultural Revolution. So my question to you, David, is that can you guarantee me a gun owner tonight? Our government in the U.S., in D.C., will never, never become a tyrannical government. Can you guarantee that to me?
There's no way I can ever guarantee that any government will not be tyrannical.
Well, then the debate on gun control is over because I will never give up my guns. Never, never. And you should go to China to see how gun control works for dictatorship of CCP.
Wow, amazing. I love her. It was difficult, though, to tolerate the young Turk, jerk, who was handling the microphone, disrespecting this woman, whose fears don't get the same platform as David Hogg's. This woman escaped communism. The DPU should be ashamed for that, and they should give that woman who escaped the communist regime a formal apology and an opportunity to share her story and position on the Great Gun Debate, because no offense intended, Spike, but she was the clear expert and the clear winner of the debate. The gun control commissars have a new path to curb mass shootings: judicial tyranny. Well, that's really the old path, if we're being fair. the first parents in the U.S. in U.S. history convicted of a mass school shooting that they did not commit were sentenced to 10 plus years in prison. In the words of Scott Drexler, you know, you grow up thinking that we have a justice system. We have a judicial system, but justice, that depends on how you define justice. The Chumleys failed to prevent their teenage son from possessing a gun. I think they even purchased one for him. And he killed four students in 2021. So they're being treated as accomplices to murder, though unwittingly. Oakland County Judge Cheryl Matthews said, "These convictions confirm repeated acts or lack of acts that could have halted an oncoming runaway train." You know, this new strategy of lawfare, where we hold people responsible for the acts of others, is really getting out of hand. What's worse is that in these mass shooting incidents, the most common denominator besides the use of a gun is the use of a psychoactive drug. This particular incident is similar to the Marjory Stoneman Douglas mass shooting. Ethan Chumley had shown signs of mental instability and violent tendencies, but the teachers and counselors didn't even call the police. They didn't report the incident at all. Tim Willis, a lieutenant with the Oakland County Sheriff's Office, said a teacher found drawings that Ethan Chumley made on his desk the morning of the shooting. The counselor obtained the drawing, but Ethan had altered it. The drawings of the gun and the bloody figure were scratched out, along with the words, "Help me, my life is useless, the world is dead, and blood everywhere." They were all scratched out. In an article written by our friend Sheila Matthews of Able Child, who has reported extensively on the role of psychoactive drugs in mass shootings, Sheila concludes, "Let's look at the school system too. We have no education records for Ethan Chumley as he entered school up until 15 years old. We also see that the counselors and mental health professionals embedded in the school system failed to see red flags the day of the killings to check his bag and insist that he be sent home. With reasonable cause to search Ethan's backpack, the school failed to do so, and then blames the parents for not telling them that Ethan had a gun inside the backpack. The school had the opportunity to search Ethan's backpack, but did not. Based on the information publicly available, it appears that both the school and the parents failed to recognize the very real threat. So, the blame game begins, and the parents are the scapegoats, because they didn't believe their son needed mental health treatment. Hindsight's 20/20, but the fact remains that the school simply could have taken Ethan's backpack, searched it, and recommended to the parents that Ethan go home for the day. Frankly, the school even had the power to engage law enforcement. What an unprecedented disaster. The families who lost loved ones have every right to grieve, and my heart goes out to each one of them. But the revenge prosecution of the parents of Ethan Chumley is unreasonable. The indefinite detainment in the form of excessive bond and subsequent prosecution of the Chumley parents borders on the line of flagrant prosecutorial misconduct and judicial tyranny. What they've done to the parents of Ethan Chumley is the very reason that we have constitutional protections, and they shouldn't just be for folks who can afford to fight for their rights. The young man who performed the heinous acts should be punished. But if we can punish everyone by extension that contributed to a crime, then why does the Biden DOJ get immunity when illicit fentanyl poisoning is killing scores of children in every county of the country? Because of Biden's border disaster. Even in this case, the school administration had a duty to report and failed to do their job. Why are they immune? The Chumleys have become the Democrat-led gun control and Democrat lobby scapegoats and scarecrows. The judge and the prosecutor should be ashamed for such a disgusting injustice. And our 2A for Today Modern Militia Woman Spotlight is focused on Pennsylvania, where a woman and her boyfriend had an unscheduled late-night rendezvous with men posing as police officers. The faux federales were looking for love in all the wrong places, so a booty call ended in bullets. Apparently, one of the men had a badge posing as law enforcement. The men grab the woman, a tussle ensues, and the woman pulls out her perforator. She fires 13 shots, and her assailants scatter. One of the intruders was found in a bedroom with a gunshot wound to the head, several to the chest, and was declared DOA. A second man escaped the hail of bullets except one to the shoulder, where he sought medical help at the local hospital. You never know what's next these days, and you never know when you might need to defend yourself. Thankfully, our 2A for Today modern militia woman had a firearm at the ready and wasn't afraid to use it. It's sad that she'll have to live with the knowledge that she had to kill someone, but thank God she will live to tell her story. And her story will absolutely have a chilling effect on the violent criminals in the city of brotherly love. That concludes our program. My name is Zoe. Thank you for watching QA for Today.
They say I'm part of a global plan. I don't think so. It's too hot, it's too cold. You know what? The weather changes.
Here's the news, Dad.
Nope. It's hard to tell what's real and what's fake these days.
Ditch the fake news and always get the truth. Go to thenewamerican.com.